Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We start our third hour. Today is flying. Hour number three in the Quicken Loan Studio. Supply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Nice to have you here. Great to be with you. All right, so we start our third and final hour. Open phones this hour. 1-800-636-8686. Began the program by talking about Jarvis Landry. And as I mentioned, if I'm starting a Monday show with something from Friday, then you know it was pretty big. And what that was specifically was that hit. An enormous hit where he lit up Buffalo Bills rookie corner, Taron Johnson. And then the issue of, was that a dirty hit? Was that an illegal hit? Or was that just good, clean, hard-nosed, physical football? Depends who you ask. At this point, it's really tough to know what's a clean hit and what's not. To me, if something's dirty, it's dirty if there's an intent to injure. It's dirty if you were trying to hurt the other guy. I'm not sure Jarvis Landry did that. I don't think that's it. I take him at his word. I think that he is trying to be, quote, a complete wide receiver. Now, that's not to say that that was not illegal. To me, that's illegal. If you're trying to make the game safer, and if a defensive player brings that same play, they're getting penalized, if not ejected. Lorenzo Alexander said it point blank. The Bills linebacker came on the show in segment number two and said, if I did that, they'd kick me out of the game. If a defensive player made a hit like that, how do you think the officials would have reacted? Would there have been an ejection?
You'd have been ejected. If I make a hit like that, I'm getting ejected from the game. Hands down, there's no questions asked, and they would have been, you know, right to do so, and everybody would have backed it up. So I just think, and this is one of the discussions we always have in when we have the competition committees, and players always bring this up. It seems like there's a double standard, and the onus is always on a defensive player to make the right call, but you see offensive players do this consistently, and it's rarely called. I'm not going to say it's never called. It's rarely called, and they're not held to the same standard. So it's something that needs to be looked at, and I know it's hard for the refs to do it, but they need to be able to do it, especially when it's out in the open on the edge in that nature it was in our last game in Cleveland.
He's right about everything he just said. And wasn't that the question? When that rule first came down, the immediate response was, all right, okay, what about offensive players? What happens when a quarterback puts his head down? What happens when a running back puts his head down? Will they call it the same way? And the answer is they're not. They're not. They should, but they're not. Other big topic from the program earlier today, Urban Meyer. We're waiting on the results of the investigation from The Ohio State about his assistant coach, Zach Smith, and Urban, and what he knew and what he didn't know, what he did, what he didn't do. Well, come to find out there's more news than even we knew. Latest report being that Zach Smith, among other things, had sex toys sent to the facility, the Woody Hayes complex, that he was taking pictures of his junk at work and at the White House. At the White House, having sex with an Ohio State staffer at the facility. And I said, if you clones can handle this responsibly, and come to find out you can't, we'll discuss it. This email says, Dear Jim, during the break, did Alvin explain each of the items that Zach Smith bought? Casey in New Hampshire.
Dude, yes.
Just because Alvin has lots of kids, does not mean he has had lots and lots of sex toys sent to the office. He has not. I've never seen one. In fact, nobody who's ever worked for me has had a sex toy sent to the office. In fact, I don't even really care so much that Zach Smith did. Again, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to comment on what you're into behind closed doors. As long as it's not illegal and it's between consenting adults, I don't give a damn. However, if you're going to buy sex toys, I would not have them sent to the facility. I would not have them sent to work. Send them home. If you can't send them home, establish a P.O. box. And again, what the hell was Urb Meyer doing keeping a guy around who was an assistant coach, not even a coordinator, not even a guy who was going to become a star or a head coach? An assistant coach who was not climbing the ladder. What are you doing keeping a guy like that around who's taking pictures of his junk at work and at the White House, having sex with staffers and having sex toys sent to the complex. Herb is like one of the smartest guys ever. One of the smartest guys ever, and that is one of the stupidest things ever. Hey, Herb, explain yourself. Rome, who the hell is this idiot that used his workplace to order sex toys? Come on, man. You got to compartmentalize. Signed, Hugh Freeze. John in the 920. I'm not sure what you're laughing at, Hawk. You don't even know who Hugh Freeze is. Rome, I was at that game. This guy's talking about the Raiders and Rams. I was at that game. Saw everything from fights to throw-ups to people sparking joints in the tunnels. Gotta love L.A. Best experience ever. War Raider Nation, baby. Eli from the 818. So I said it was like the most cliche thing ever. And this guy said, if by the most cliche thing ever, you mean best thing ever? I saw everything from fights to throw-ups to people sparking joints in the tunnels. Gotta love L.A. But don't act like that only happens in L.A. That's that whole thing about why would you go to an NFL game? Why would you go to an NFL game when you run the risk of getting knocked the hell out? I'm not saying that it's for everybody, but think about this. Go to an NFL game, and by the time they're done jamming you up for parking, concessions, swag, if you wear the wrong colors, you might get punched in the head. Or you can watch it at home on 4D, climate controlled, no waiting for beer, no waiting for the bathroom. You don't have to pay for parking. This guy's saying, yeah, but Rome, I don't see those things at home. I don't see fights in my living room. I don't see guys puking in my living room. Nobody's sparking up in the tunnels in my living room. I'd miss all that if I didn't go to the game. Rome, I know the takes on Raider fan are tired and played out. However, that does not make them untrue. Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason, and there is often at least a little truth in them. War the commitment to excrement. Dan in Richmond. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give you a 0 for that, Dan. Anybody who starts an email or includes an email with stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason and then tags it with commitment to excrement. Hey, Dan, I don't know how long you've been listening, but that's the kind of take that I used to get back in the mid-90s. And even then, it wasn't good. And finally, at Charger Fan tweets, Rome, I'm sure the city of Vegas and the Vegas PD can't wait for the freak show that is Raider Fan to show up on a weekly basis. It takes two. It takes two. That was not Raider Fan knocking the hell out of Raider Fan. Ram Fan is not without responsibility. It takes two. It always takes two. Raider Fan cannot fight himself. All right, now I've opened it up. If you've got a good telephone call, you can win a Masterbuilt smoker, or if it's a good tweet or a good email. We've talked a lot about guys doing stupid things. Let me just say this. There's no such thing as a stupid question. There are no dumb questions. The astronomer and Pulitzer Prize winner thinker Carl Sagan might have said it best when he once wrote, quote, "There are naive questions, tedious questions, ill-phrased questions, questions put after inadequate self-criticism. But every question is a cry to understand the world. There is no such thing as a dumb question." Sagan, pretty smart guy, right? I don't think anybody would dispute that. If he says there are no dumb questions, then maybe there are no dumb questions. At least there wasn't. Until Steven Jackson sat down at his Big Three presser yesterday. Because fresh off a season-ending win, Jackson and teammate Alan Anderson got tossed one of the all-time misguided, idiotic questions in the history of interrogation. And their answer was absolute gold.
My question to y'all is this. Go back to the Kobe thing. You think he can handle this league? Would it be more physical inside?
Coach!
We're going to
get him out of here.
No, no.
We're going to say no to get him out of here. Okay. I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? When you
this guy from Let's Get It Sports, asked Steven Jackson, can Kobe Bryant play in the 3-on-3.5 and handle the physicality?
I mean, the reason I'm asking is
that question was rhetorical. Okay? I can't even spell rhetorical, but I know what it means. That question was rhetorical. Kobe can play in any league.
Any league.
Any league. Right now, Kobe, listen. You listening? I'm slapping for you. Man, please come to this league. We need you.
Come on, man. Don't ask. Kobe is one of the greats, bro.
You know, I'm just saying that with the physical part of it, you know.
Yes, yeah.
This is one of the best. This is one of the best scores of all time. You think he wasn't getting knocked down in the league? Yes, Kobe can. Yes, please come, Kobe. And yes, Kobe will be dominant just as he was in the league in this.
Right on.
I truly believe it.
Man, there's so much to cover right here. So why don't we just take this point by point quickly. First off, the question. In case you missed the actual question, as Jackson and Anderson were busting a gut, laughing their asses off, this was the question.
My question to y'all is this. Go back to the Kobe chain. Do you think he can handle this league? Would it be more physical inside?
Quote, my question to y'all is this. Go back to the Kobe thing. Do you think he can handle this league with it being more physical inside? In other words, do you think an 18-time All-Star, a 5-time NBA champ, one of the most ruthless and fearless scorers in the NBA, not to mention one of the all-time best-conditioned athletes, toughest guys you'll ever see, could he handle the rough stuff in the paint in the big three? The question literally got Jackson off of his feet. And after he ID'd the troll who asked that question as a dude from Let's Get It Sports, he was so perplexed, they had to repeat the question out loud just to try out how it felt to have liquid lava like that spew from his own gap.
This guy from Let's Get It Sports asked Steven Jackson, can Kobe Bryant play in the 3-on-3.5 and handle the physicality?
I mean, the reason I'm asking is
that question was rhetorical. Okay? I can't even spell rhetorical, but I know what it means.
It's like Jackson's maybe onto something. Like, maybe this dude is just trolling me. Maybe he's trying to get the Mamba, I don't know, to get him to play in the Big Three next year. I mean, I'd be all about that. That's a good thing. But it's not like Kobe is looking for things to do. My man's been doing great. He retired from the NBA 2 years ago. He might be working harder now than he was when he was playing. This guy turns a poem that he wrote into a short film. He wins an Oscar. He had a TV show on ESPN during the NBA playoffs that everybody loved. He started a film studio. He's got a venture capital fund where he turned a $6 million investment in body armor into $200 million. But say this for the guy who asked that question. My man was not backing down. He was relentless. He kept asking the same question, even as it was getting smashed right back into his face. And even after Jackson told Kobe that he would slap some sense into that reporter for him, this guy had to ask it one more time. If the Mamba had what it took to play in a vets half-court, 3-on-3 league.
You know, I'm just saying that with the physical part of it, you know.
This is one of the best scores of all time. You think he wasn't getting knocked down in the league? Yes, Kobe can. Yes, please come, Kobe. And yes, Kobe will be dominant just as he was in the league in this.
Right on.
I truly believe it.
The only thing dumber than asking that question is trying to ask it three different times. And while Jackson's a better dude than most for finally giving this guy his answer, nobody would have blamed him if instead he just hit him with a Bryce Harper and ended this thing early on before it unraveled.
That's a clown question, bro.
And just kept moving.
That's a clown question, bro.
Could Kobe handle the physicality of the Big Three league? I like the Big Three. It's kind of fun. If he could handle the physicality of the Big Five, full court, I think that he could handle it.
I think that he could.
All right, we're coming back. Again, I'm looking for somebody with some good content. Best content wins a master-built smoker. Best content. Not the best of the worst, the best. Period. You got to earn that thing. Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather, especially here in California. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We spend a lot of time in our cars, too. You know that heat can just suck the life right out of you? Imagine then what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your car battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate. That leads to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want to have your car at its peak. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now. Have your battery tested free of charge. Free. If it does need replacing, the professional parts people there will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or your truck. And they'll do it at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Lots going on in this third hour. 1-800-636-8686. You need to call right now, or you need to tweet right now, or you need to email right now, because I'm giving away a Masterbuilt smoker. And it goes to the person who has the best content. In the meantime, let's go to the phones very quickly. Also, I've got thoughts on Todd Gurley. More on that Rams-Raiders matchup. Let's go to Texas. Milton in Texas. Nice to have you on, Milton. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
What's going on? What's on your mind? Go ahead, Milton. You're on the air.
Oh. Well, I asked about all those sex toys that guy ordered. Who cares anyway? And I was like, so? You know, and the screener asked me, well, I used to work at Walmart. And so he said, if somebody brings something like that in the break room, do you care? I said, no. Why should I care? Big deal. What you do, your own house, whatever, good for you, enjoy. Who cares? I mean, really? I mean, because they did that. I mean, did that guy, did he have sex in the White House or just take a picture of his penis? I don't get that.
Well, I'm going to help you with that, Milton. I know you don't get that. That's the problem. You don't get that. You don't get that. That's the problem. All right, so Milton, who was dead serious, I think, was saying, who cares? Who cares? Who cares if a guy has sex toys at work? Who cares if a guy has sex toys sent to work? The reason we're talking about this is because of Zach Smith. There's an ongoing investigation involving Urban Meyer, who is on leave. And the latest report from Brett McMurphy is Smith was getting sex toys sent to the Woody Hayes complex. So Milton from Texas says, who cares? What's the big deal? Milton, if I have to explain to you why that's inappropriate, I think I'm wasting my time here. I never thought that I'd have to explain something like that. I understand that you might not agree with my takes. I understand that I might have to explain where I'm going with certain things. I didn't think I would ever have to explain the statement, getting sex toys sent to your place of employment is inappropriate. Unless you work at an adult toy store. I can't imagine a scenario where that's okay. Maybe where you worked, that was okay. Not where I work. Not where anybody I know where they work. Unless they work for an adult toy store. Unless that's the case, I really can't fathom a scenario where it's okay to have sex toys shipped to your office. Besides, let's not lose track of what's going on here. If it was only about this guy having certain sex toys sent to his office, that would be one thing. But that's not what that's about. Even you yourself, Milton, reference some of the other things that were going on here. It's part of a larger thing. Part of a guy also photographing himself in the office. Part of a guy photographing himself at the White House. And not just selfies, but photographs of his junk. Photographing himself in the office. Photographing himself in the White House. Photographing himself having sex at the office. And most importantly, the DUI charge. And the alleged domestic violence incidents. Do I also need to explain why those things are problems as well? I mean, Milton, I hope you're joking and not as dumb as that take, because that's a really dumb take. What's the problem? Why can't a guy just have sex toys sent to the office? That wouldn't bother me. Just because it wouldn't bother you, Milton, doesn't mean it's not a problem for everybody else. And I can almost assure that no matter where you work, it's a problem. Milton, that is not going to get you a smoker. That's not the type of content that's going to win you a smoker. At Rocky's Expert tweets, the best content of the third hour is Milton's blood alcohol content. I didn't say the highest BAC wins you a smoker. I don't even know if he was drunk. I just know that was a really bad take. At Blazing KC tweets, war Milton streaming porn at the library. Right. Not bad, Blaze. Give me an A or give me an F, Blaze. Chris in Montana tweets, Jay Stew sounds like a guy that would have sex toys sent to the office. Signed, to six dudes watching porn.
I just put two and two together that Jason Stewart is Jason from Fullerton, the old caller. I go out with a buddy of mine, my JV coach at the time, who went to Fullerton, and he's a buddy of Jason's and a couple of his friends. We go over to this house on a Friday night, and Jason and about 10 guys are sitting in a room watching porno, and he's bragging about how he's this caller on your show. And I never met a more pathetic group of losers. We're going out looking for chicks, and they're watching porno with guys.
All right, Chris in Montana, get your facts straight. It was not six dudes watching porn. It was 10. No, again, you cannot get sex toys sent to your place of employment unless your place of employment is an adult toy store. It's not going to be all right. Ask your boss. In fact, don't ask your boss. You should just know. 1-800-636-8686. I'm trying to give away the smoker. I need somebody to get this thing back on track. I need somebody to stay topical with it. Let's try Mississippi. Mark in Mississippi, we go to the phones. It's good to have you, Mark. Good morning. How are you?
Man, I am excellent, man. I have been waiting so long to give you the right content, man.
Good.
Listen to me. There's only two things about this whole conversation that is dirty. Well, actually, three. Your last caller, Zach Smith, but your boy was not, that was not a dirty hit, man. That was just a receiver doing his job. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time, or he could have been at the right place at the right time. But let me tell you, the NFL needs to quit pansying these players. Now we're going to start protecting middle linebackers. Now we're going to start protecting linemen. Now we're going to start. It's crazy. It's crazy. Hey, was it illegal? Probably was, but the play happened so fast that was he in a slant route? Was he trying to get a little slant?
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Mark, is that not the content that I've been waiting my whole life for? Didn't you just say that? All right, so back to it. At least he tried to keep to the topic. Jarvis Landry, do you think that was a dirty hit or not? I could see why the Buffalo Bills thought that was a dirty hit, especially if they were there when Landry laid out Aaron Williams in 2016 and effectively ended his career with a similar hit. I'm not going to go as far again as to say that it was dirty, because to me, this is how I define a dirty hit. A dirty hit to me is if there is intent to injure. I don't think Landry had that. I think he's an unusual wide receiver in the sense that he's a really physical guy. He was not going to just screen a guy out. He had a chance to take a shot, and he did. And it to me, it's dirty if there's an intent to injure. I don't think that was there. But I think that hit now is illegal. This whole thing about how just put them in flags, or as that caller just said, pansy them up. Pansy them up. I don't think anybody's trying to pansy anybody up. I think that the league is trying to make the game safer, and I understand why they're doing that. I also understand that the game is inherently violent, and I'm not sure it's possible to make the game less violent. I think that that particular hit was illegal and should have been flagged, because if you're going to call it the same way both ways. Are you looking to protect offensive players, and are you only looking to flag defensive players? Because that's the way it looks. If a defensive player did something like that, there's no doubt, 100% certain there'd be a flag, and there'd be a really good chance that player would have been ejected, because with the new helmet rule, you can eject a player if it's deemed severe enough. How was that not deemed severe enough? If that were a defensive player who did that, you probably would have seen an ejection. But an offensive player does it, a wide receiver does it, and there's not even a flag? That, to me, was an illegal hit. The way they're calling the game right now with the new rule changes, that's an illegal hit. Call it both ways. All right, then. We had Milton, who does not have any idea what's wrong with a sex toy or toys being delivered to the place of employment. And then you've got that guy who said, I've got the thing you've been waiting for all day long. That's not true either. All right, when we return, last chance. Yeah, I don't want to get to Friday and find out that I've got five smokers I have to give away because nobody could step up and get it done. Quality content for a high-quality product. Best content wins a smoker. Call with it, tweet with it, email with it, Facebook with it, Instagram with it, whatever you want. Best content wins. And again, not the best of the worst, just the best. It's got to be good. I may or may not get to this. Cat dudes like Hawk will like this if I get to it. Just a teaser. It may or may not happen. First up, though, sports update. That's definitely going to happen. Here it is. Barbasol Razors, after 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. It's about time. It's a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save right now at Barbasol.com. Also, Monday is an ATP Day. Ask the pros. And that is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The ATP today comes from Ithaca, New York. Jonathan asks, Jim, since we're talking smokers, what is your favorite tailgate food to crush? Will Jake consider the tailgate scene on Saturdays as he finalizes his college decision? War State Street Brats in Madtown. I'm not saying it because you brought it up. I'm not saying it because of who you are. But my favorite tailgate food to crush, brats. Brats. Ever since I got back from Wisconsin, I've been jonesing hard. Like, I don't know if it's like the grease in my bloodstream, but it's something. It's like this fix I got to get. I've been looking around for them. I need a brat. When you eat a brat every single day, multiple times a day, and then all of a sudden you go cold turkey and you get cut off, you miss it. That is my favorite tailgate food. You know, it's funny you mentioned that about when he considers his final decision, would he go to a tailgate scene on Saturdays? Got to do it. Again, we're looking at a lot of these colleges in the summer when they're not in session and you don't know what the weather's like and you don't get the full experience. We went to Madison. We absolutely loved it. It was amazing. That Badger family has been incredible. The Badger family made its presence felt before we went, and I keep hearing from them almost every single day since we went. I can't lie to you. I'm pushing my kid to go there. In fact, I'm starting to wonder why I didn't go to Wisconsin. And I love UCSB. We do need to go back. We need to experience a football Saturday. Got to. My man Kelly Call, president of CBS Entertainment. Proud, proud Badger. And I can't lie to you now. He is introducing us around. Doors are opening up because of him. And it's been an awesome experience. So I'm not sure if we'll be a member of the Badger family. If they'll take us, maybe so. In case you missed it, we had Lorenzo Alexander on in hour number one. Oh, I interrupt that thought process. Let's go right to it. When a guy has won the smack off, he does not need to wait. It's a very, very elite community. Select fraternity. Let's go to the phones. Vic in NoCal, a.k.a. Broadway Vic. Hey, Vic, what's up? How are you?
Brother Rome. I'm Vic in NoCal. That's how I am. Hey, a couple quick thoughts on the smack-off first, man. You know, I was really impressed with Brad's effort. You know, the most impressive thing about Brad's call was how he just straight up went big game hunting. You know, I mean, it was just so money how he totally crushed the guy who finished 12th and the guy who finished in 10th place. I mean, that's what you call big game hunting, man. That's what it's all about. To be the best, you got to take out the best. I also like Leff and LeGimmick's call. Dude, you knew Leff was going to come up with something good for the Smack-Off. I mean, after all, he's got that box of gimmicks. You know, you have the box of Chaos Rome. Leff has his box of gimmicks where he hits up all his writing staff and all of his social media contacts, and they all pitch in ideas into the box of gimmicks. And then Leff picks out the ones that he likes best, you know. So things like a tandem phone call with Rogue and Loam, calling you from backstage at a Rise Against concert, you know, things like that. I mean, hell, you don't know how shocked I was when you went to Leff and he wasn't calling you from the living room of one Kurt freaking Orban. You know, I totally expected Leff to find a loophole around that no studio crashing rule, too, you know, by like having James Kelly stick his head out the window, and then Leff could land his helicopter on the flight deck and make his call from there. I mean, technically, he wouldn't really be in the studio, right? Anyway, let's talk about this helmet thing in the NFL really quick, Rome. You know, I mentioned this 5 years ago in my Smack Off call from 2013. Have little Alvy look it up. The only guy Roger Goodell should be worrying about as far as how often he leads with his helmet is Antonio Cromartie, okay? I mean, what the hell does Roger Goodell do all year exactly besides ruin the game to earn that $40 million paycheck he gets or whatever he makes? You know, one of my top five favorite players of all time is Devin Hester. And thank God Hester was born in like 1980 or whenever, because if he'd been born like a decade later, we never would have heard of him with the way Roger has just totally eliminated the kick return. You suck, Goodell. Dude, Vanna White and Pat Sajak think you've done nothing to earn your millions. Rome, I want a war. Ira Craig getting totally ripped with six-packs ab, thanks to following that strict regimen of intermittent fasting. And before I go, you know, you mentioned there was a porn star who went on a date with Jimmy Garoppolo recently, and now she's planning to put out a porno movie called In the End Zone. In the End Zone? Yeah, that's really clever. I mean, what's next? Is she going to go on a date with Sidney Crosby and then put out a porno movie called Going Five Hole? Give me
that's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Vic, were you about to claim your smoker? And now you're done. All right, so Vic finally got around to calling now and talking about the Smack-Off. And those were his thoughts, among many other things. Again, I didn't say the best or the worst. I didn't say if you get run, you get the master-built smoker. I need quality content for a quality product. Best content wins the master-built smoker. And I don't want to carry this thing over day to day to day and then feel like I've got the pressure of having to give away five of these things on Friday. Best content gets the smoker. We're doing it. Hey, Hawk, just confirm. Are we not doing this every single day this week? Every single day this week, best content wins. That content got run, as he had to know that it would. Moving along. Let me just go back to this. I could have swore, it was hard for me to hear over the hammer, but I think that I heard Vic said, all right, now give me my... And I'm assuming he was talking about the master-built smoker.
In the end zone? Yeah, that's really clever. I mean, what's next? Is she going to go on a date with Sidney Crosby and then put out a porno movie called Going Five Hole? Give me
that. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
What's next? Is she going to make a movie with Sidney Crosby? Blah, blah, blah. Give me a... Blah, blah. Give me, you were going to slide that in and give me my smoker, Vic. You were going to slide that in and give me that Smack-Off title. Give me that smoker. Give me my $5,000.
Give me back my shot.
Come on, Vic. You knew you were not going to make it to the end of the phone call, much less win a master-built smoker with something like that. All right, look, I don't have enough time to lay out a long-form take or a long-form rant here, so I'm looking for a good telephone call. You have your phone number. You know where to find it. I want to talk about the big news out of Stillwater, too, and I'm not talking about the announcement that Drew Brown is going to be the backup quarterback to Taylor Cornelius. I'm talking about something much bigger, something bigger than that, something bigger than all of us. I'm talking about Mike Gundy's mullet. More troubling. The mystery surrounding the disappearance of that mullet. You might recall he had this amazing look last year. You can call it a mullet. You can call it a Tennessee top hat. You can call it a Kentucky waterfall. It was glorious. Business in the front, even more business in the back, and now it's gone. I'm going to have to pick that topic up probably tomorrow. But that'll carry. That'll jump the day. Let's go to South Dakota. Hopefully this is the guy that earns and rips the smoker. Ryan in South Dakota. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Good, Jim. How are you?
I'm great.
Long-time clone and love the show and all the content.
Thanks so much.
Stuff. I'm sure there's dopes all over the world that have stuff like harnesses and goods like that delivered to their office, but it takes a Zach Smith-level degenerate to actually open up the box in the office, don't you think? Aren't those boxes usually, per the television, usually labeled, discreetly labeled? So how many office staff do you think decided to decline a ride in the harness with Big Zach before he had his fun and games wrecked by Big Herb when he saw it? Wore the spotted cow. Thanks for the short phone call. Appreciate everything you do, Jimmy.
That's all it took, Ryan. Pick him up. Pick him up, Hawk, and give him his smoker. That's all it took. That was easy enough. Hey, Ryan, call back. Hawk is in possession of your Masterbuilt smoker. He goes, it's one thing to order the sex toys, entirely another to open them up. No, it's true. One thing to order the box, which is bad enough. Entirely another to open up the box. But then again, you can't use them unless you take them out of the box. And apparently he wanted to use them. Hey, look, I don't know exactly what he did or did not do at work. I know what he had sent to work because we've seen the screenshot. We've seen the receipt. We've seen the address. We see where it went. And allegedly, pictures of his junk taken at work, taken at the White House, and sex with a staffer at work. And again, you're going to tell me that Herb Meyer did not know this was going on. He had no idea any of that was going on. He might not have known all of it, although I would allege he probably did. But even if he didn't, he knew most of it. Because that's a guy who makes it his business to know everything that's going on with his program. That's a guy who makes it his business to walk around like he's the smartest guy ever. But he didn't know anything about that. And again, if you're the smartest guy ever, what are you doing with a wide receiver coach who is ordering sex toys to the office? Having sex at the office, taking pictures of his own junk at the office. But then again, if you want to take pictures of your own junk at the office, you probably would do it at the White House. Something else he did. What the hell was Herb doing having a guy like that on staff? And again, the issue isn't even the sex toys. It's the DUI. It's the domestic violence allegations. How did this guy see clear to keep that guy on his staff? What assistant coach is that important? What the hell did this guy know about running routes and wide receivers that you would jeopardize your career and your rep and your job to keep that guy around? I'm still waiting, Herb. I can't wait for the responses to that. Ed Gray, Great Blue Dini, 4 tweets. Mike Gundy's mullet was so incredible, Zach Smith asked to take a picture with it. If you did not win today, you have a chance to win tomorrow. Best content tomorrow also gets the Masterbuilt smoker. Now, if you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and you need to stay strong. Like Castrol Edge, it is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Alvy, roll it.
I mean, Chris Peterson is a great example. He'll sit in on meetings with his assistants, with his yellow notepad. It's great when they talk about it. And he evaluates everything they say, so much so that they have to spend for a 30-minute meeting roughly 2 hours to prepare for that. Everyone is like a TED Talk. So if you go and talk to one of those assistants, the preparation, the attention to detail, the language they're using, right? The do versus be, you know, what do I want to do? What do I need to, who do I want to be? What do I need to do? You know, that conversation, that's always happening in those offices and that facility up in Seattle. And that to me is what the great leaders do.
Hi, good show, dude.
It is a good show. A good show with some really bad callers. That's it. Now we're done. Jeff Chidiha, Yogi Roth, Lorenzo Alexander all made it in. And we're coming right back tomorrow. Want to thank them. Want to thank the XR4TI. No thanks to you callers who are trying to bring me down. You got to do better than that, especially if you want something free. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have an amazing day. We're out.